try that again. How many believe that this morning? Amen. Would you just bow your head with me? Here's the thing I want to ask you even before we go to prayer this morning for the word. If you're here this morning, and during our prayer time that you had something specific that you are praying for, and you want God to do something extraordinary, out of the box, something that you cannot do yourself. If you can do it yourself, then my prayer would be that God could help you to do it. But if you had a specific prayer this morning that you need God's help and it won't happen without Him, and you believe that He wants to do something special, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at, and then we're going to open in prayer and we're going to hear God's word. So if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand, believing God to do something that you cannot do in yourself. Father, as we go to your word this morning, I believe just about every single person has stood because we have something in our lives that we cannot do ourselves, and we need you to intervene. We lack the strength, we lack the knowledge, we lack the ability. And this morning we're asking you, so whether they're standing because they need a healing, financial, fix a relationship, whatever it is this morning, Lord God, I'm asking us to get past being a beggar and come to the Father this morning, asking you to do something for your children and that you would get honor and glory for it, and that because we could not say we did it ourselves but would have to acknowledge to you and to others around us that you did it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you this morning to turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to look at, I believe the bulletin says the first 9 verses, but I actually want to read through verse 12. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there has been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jewish leader said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick up and walk?" Father, bless this word. May our hearts be open and ready to receive it. And may you accomplish everything that you want to accomplish this morning. In your name, amen. This morning, I want you to pay close attention to the details of this passage of Scripture. It's a familiar verse, and I'm asking you this morning to not only hear it, but apply it. Sometimes it's so familiar that as the preacher starts saying the verse, we know the verse, we think we know where he's going, he or she is going, and we miss what God wants to accomplish. Now, I want you to see some details here, because it's full of details. We see a crippled man here, placed at a pool of healing. We see he's alongside a lot of others that have come and been put there. We see that he's been there for 38 years, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But every day for 38 years, he was placed and put there in the hopes that he would get in this healing water. And if nothing else, he would hope that beggars would not steal his people from taking away a blessing. Tradition said that when the waters were stirred, the first one that gets in the water was going to receive the blessing. Jesus shows up, but it's kind of weird because we look at this and we know that the man didn't even know who Jesus was. We see that Jesus went to him, that no one told Jesus about him, that Jesus went to him, saw his needs, saw where he was at, went to him and wanted to talk to him, and he asks him a bizarre question. He asks him a question that you would think after knowing the guy was there for 38 years, he asks him the question, do you want to be well? So as if that's not enough detail, does that about cover it? Does that about cover all the details? I think we're forgetting one important detail there, is that Jesus saw him and Jesus cured him, that Jesus healed him. Jesus not only saw what he was going through, but desired to heal him. Desire to make a difference, a desire to change his life, a desire to take something that had been plaguing him for so long and change his life forever. We see that it's in Jerusalem, but I think we serve a big God, and it could easily be Middletown. It could easily be High Spire. It could be wherever you live. You see that there's piers and porches, and there's all these little extensions. There's a double pond here with porches and colonnades in between there. And you see that probably over all of these years that these people wanted to find their favorite spot. Because if nothing else, they wanted people to see them in their need and wanted somebody to throw them some change, somebody to allow them to have what they needed. And my question is very simple to you this morning. Are you a beggar or do you want to be healed? Are you a beggar or do you want to be well? Are you going to do the same old thing, the same old way, and the same results always coming? And you get to the point where you're going through the motions and your God is not really God. Because you've painted a picture, you've limited him, you stopped him from wanting to be God, and every time God wants to do something, you have some excuse of why he can't do it, or why you can't receive it. So my first point, and I want you to write it down, is really this. Do you want to get well? And you have to answer that question. You have to answer that. I can't answer that for you. Because sometimes we look like we're going through all of the motions. It's a simple question with a complicated answer. By all appearance, you would think that anybody in their right mind would want God to heal them. Any person that had spent 38 years there really wanted God to do something. But when you take a closer look at this, you see that the guy probably started out right. He probably started out right. He, at one point, he probably really did believe and really did help you. Hey, put me down by that pool because God can heal me. God can bless me. God can touch me. God can do something. Just get me down there. That's all I need. All I need to do is get into God's presence. But I believe after time and after he wasn't the one that first got into the water, and he wasn't the one that received the healing, and he watched others receive that healing, I believe in time he became discouraged. And for a time, I believe that he stopped believing that God really wanted to do something in his life. At first, he's, God's got this. All I have to do is get there. All I have to do is believe. And I believe as time went on, he got more discouraged. He got more looking at others that got the blessing and forgot that God wanted to do something for him. He, at one time, I believe he thought that he was going to be the victor. Oh, God, if I just get you there, if I just get there, I'm going to be the victor. And then he became the victim. And he became the one that just never seems to get what he's asking for. I thought about this. If you or I were the one sitting there for 38 years, it would mean since 1979, every day, that somebody dragged you to the pool and picked you up at night and dragged you back home. And the best that you could live on is the chump change that somebody threw at you. What could he do different? First of all, answer the question, do you really want to be well? And the second thing is, are you willing to put yourself in a position to be healed from God? You're the only one that can answer that. I don't know about you, but I would like to think that if I had that disability, if I had that need, and I knew that God could do something miraculous like that, if I just got myself in the right position to receive it, that I would figure out a way to get in that water. I would become an inventor. I would create a button that as soon as the water started stirring, I hit the button and something dropped me in. I figured I would have somebody build me. I would do something to get in the water at the right time. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I would have found those guys that dropped the guy in through the roof. Where were them guys? Maybe they didn't see me, so drop me through the roof. I would have found a way. For some this morning, I know it's addiction. For some, I know it's relational. Some, I know it's financial. And sometimes we just get so wrapped up in what it is that we forget all about the obedience. We forget all about who God is. We forget all about what his word says. And we keep thinking, now hear me, you may not like this, but we keep thinking that we can outlast God. God tells us to do something, shows us to do something, tells us how we can get into a position of receiving something from God. And we think, you know, Lord God, I don't want to do that. And we try to outlast him and outmaneuver him, and it turns into a chess game. And we don't usually win those. We keep thinking that we're going to change God's mind. He keeps saying, if you would just change your mind, if you would just change what's going on with you. I want you to know it takes determination to receive from God. You may not like this, but lazy people have a hard time receiving from God. I'm not talking about your work ethic or anything. I'm talking about when God gives you direction on how and what he wants to do and healing you and what it's going to take to change your circumstance, if you're lazy and you don't want to do what he says, you can't blame God that you don't have any results. He gives instructions. He gave instructions here. I would have been sure that I wanted to be on the cutting edge. If one got the healing in front of me, I would figure out the way that the next one didn't do it. I talked a while ago with someone that needed a job. This is true. I asked a few questions. What they were praying for is that God would provide and bring them a job. So I asked this person a few questions. I asked, are you looking for jobs? They said, no. Have you written a resume to turn in to give to an employer? No. Have you let others know that you're even looking for a job? No. Do you know the jobs that you're capable of doing? And do you know the jobs that you have experience in? And do you know what you would be able to offer an employer if and when they were talking to you? No. Folks, I want to tell you, this person was literally asking God to bring them a job and drop it in their lap. I'm not doing anything about it, but I'm praying that God would give me a job. Is it possible? Is it possible that God could drop a job right in your lap while you're watching your favorite soap opera, sitting home doing nothing? Yes, it's possible because we serve a big God. But if we put ourselves in a position to receive His healing or His blessing, wouldn't you think it would come a little bit faster? If you were needing advice because things weren't going well in your life, where do you think God would give you the answers? Sitting in front of the TV? Taking off to a sports event? Or being in the house of God? Where do you think God would probably start? Now, He can do it in all these other places. But where do you think God's going to do most of His talking to God's people? In the house of the Lord. Through the preacher. Through somebody in Sunday school. Through a person that is a blessing. Just recently we had a gal that just moved into the area. Church family, and I'm talking several church families, not just ours. Found out that this person needed a blessing and blessed them. But where did we hear about it? If she never came out of her house, how would anybody know? So my question is, do you really want to be well? Do you want to put yourself in a position to see God do some amazing things? Recently also met with a gal, and this is crazy because I haven't seen her for a long time, and the first things that she told me when I saw her, she says, all I keep seeing and hearing in my head is you telling me that if I don't do what God says and I don't do the changes that need, that I'm going to keep on suffering, that I'm not going to have this peace, that I'm going to be convicted. And there was a couple of you here when it happened. And I looked right at her and said, don't blame me for being in your head. Don't blame me for being in your head. It's not my fault. I said, all you did was get godly advice, and what you do with it is what is going to make the difference. She wanted to blame me that I was in her head. I wasn't in her head. I got my own problems. But God was trying to minister to her, was trying to show that God still hadn't given up on her. She wanted to blame me. She wanted to blame God. She had received this advice, and she didn't want to do anything with it. And when I told her, until you put yourself in a position to receive, you're going to miss the blessing. It will always be a voice in the head with nothing happening. And then we want to say it's all about faith sometimes. We say it's all about faith. Oh, if I had more faith, and if I had the faith of so-and-so. But you know what? When you look at this verse, it's not about faith. This verse is a perfect example. And it's not always about faith. Because we think, oh, at our weakest point, God, I don't have faith. So then God shows up. He says, it's not all about faith. It's about just being obedient. We blame God that we can't muster up enough faith. And God tells us it's sometimes not about faith. It's just about getting your eyes where they need to be. This beggar didn't even know Jesus. And Jesus shows up. He asks him a simple but direct question. Do you want to get well? And the beggar goes into all this pity party nonsense. Sir, you don't understand. I try to get into water, but as soon as the water stirs, somebody else gets in there. God, sir, it's been that way for 38 years. I love this part. Jesus listens to him and hears all of his nonsense. And if I could paraphrase it, Jesus just looks at him and says, let's skip the stirring of the water. Let's skip all the nonsense of tradition. How about just getting up and walking? I'll show you who I am. I'll show you who I am. Just get up. Get up and walk. Recognize that the healer showed up. Recognize that what you haven't even been praying for, I'm here. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't even know what to pray. Sometimes we're tired of praying. Sometimes we don't have the strength to pray. Just recognize that the healer showed up. And you get up. You don't even know my name. Just listen to me and get up. There are times that God moves mountains by faith. And then there's other times that you just need to be in a position to receive what God has for you. Because God has shown up. Sometimes we need that faith like the woman with the issue of blood that said, if I could just touch the hem of God. Now that took faith. Because she was fighting to get through that crowd. She knew that all she needed to do was touch the hem of God and that God would pour out his healing. And then you see the centurion leader that says, hey, come. And Jesus is on his way and he says, now, wait a minute. You don't even have to come. Just give the word. Just give the word, and I know that my servant will be healed. Sometimes just recognize that the healer showed up, and things could be different if you were just smart enough to get in when he says get in, get up when he says get up, and have faith when he says to have faith. So you have to answer that question. Number one is this. You have to answer that question. Do I want to get well? Second thing is that you got to recognize that God wants changes in you. You say amen to that? We don't like it. But recognize, Jesus looks at him in his state, very direct, with an action sentence, and says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Receive your healing. Receive it. We're not talking about whether it's going to happen. Receive it. I think it's amazing because this man didn't see Jesus as a potential healer, but he obeyed the command. because I can think of the forcefulness. Get up. It's not like, get up if you feel like it. It's get up. And by the way, take that mat with you too. You're not going to need it anymore. Jesus told that man to receive what he had asked for. The man didn't ask Jesus for help, but Jesus was there to help him, and he was smart enough to recognize and receive it. See, a lot of times Jesus does heal by faith, but he shows us here that in God's greatness, he's not even limited by our faith to do something. What would have happened if he didn't respond? I think there's a good chance he wouldn't have been healed. I think he would have stayed there in the state that he is, and I think that Jesus would have walked away. Because when the healer shows up, and you're looking for something, and he says, get up, go, receive it, we have to receive it. Get up. You no longer need that kneeling pad. I have healed you. No longer are you a part of the beggars, but now you can become a part of the workforce. Now you can receive what you haven't even been praying for. Folks, there has to come a time that we stop going through the motions and we trust God to do what he says. And trust God to do what he wants to do in our lives. And put ourselves in a position for God to be God. And realize that God wants to heal you. Now understand, he doesn't always heal every physical need. He doesn't always give us every dollar when we ask for it. But we serve a God that wants to work in our lives. And we miss a lot of blessings because we're standing at the water and we never get in. How long are you going to stay at the water's edge? Oh, I'd never stay there 38 years. Well, some of you, it's been a long time. Some of you have had God respond back to you and tell you what it takes to receive that healing, to receive that blessing, to receive that change that's needed. And you're trying to outlast God. You're trying to set the rules. And God's saying, how long are you going to stand at the water's edge and not get in? It's amazing. Now I'm going to really say something that might stretch somebody's forgiveness. Why not make this church the church that God wants it to be? Oh, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. We have several leaders that are away at a layman's retreat. Maybe I should have waited with this message for another week. Or maybe God's raising up some new leaders. Raising up some new people to take some things to take this church to the next level. All right, so ask yourself the question, do I want to get well? If you answered yes, make sure that you get in a position to receive from God. If you can't say yes and your answer really is no, be prepared for it to be the same old, same old. Somebody's going to drop you off and pick you up. You can either keep on doing the same old thing, the same old way, and wondering and blaming God that there's no difference, or you can get in. Recognize that God wants to make a change. Recognize that the changes are in you. God doesn't need to change. Recognize that change is good and it's a needed thing. And here's the last last point. Change is going to cost you something. For some of you, you will understand exactly what I'm saying here. People always don't get excited when you want to do something for God. Now, hear me out. Once God begins to do something in your life, some people hate it. And oh my gosh, if God would pull you above where they're at, they really hate you. Don't believe me? Listen to this verse. The day on which it took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up my mat and walk.'" Don't you know we have laws against that? Don't you know that you're not permitted to be healed on a Sabbath? You're not permitted to carry your mat. I don't care who told you to. You're not permitted to. We have laws against that. Who is this man that would dare to tell you to break our law? Just like laws today, certain people know the loopholes. Because you take them same religious leaders that if one of their sheep would have fell in a hole, they wouldn't have left them there to die. They would have pulled them out. But they would have claimed a loophole. They would have claimed that, oh, that's not work. It is for you. If you did it, that would be work. But nope. It's not work for me. It's saving one of my sheep. If you move in a positive way, I guarantee you will have some that will not like it. I guarantee if God healed you today, there would be some that would not be joyful. They'd be jealous. They would be mad. Why don't I get that? And instead of being a blessing, instead of helping, they become an anchor. They want to throw the rules out at you. They want to tell you on how you must be wrong. And like that old sitcom, moving up out of the east side, some people would hate it if you moved up out of the east side. How dare you get better off than we are? I will pull you down. I will try to steal your blessing. I will discourage your healing. And that's why I said this morning, don't let the devil steal what God is trying to give you. Don't let somebody pull you down because you're trying to do something for the Lord. Don't let somebody push you down and hold you under because they're so jealous of what God wants to do. My question and my response to you, are you sensitive enough to hear God's voice and instructions and get by the pool ready to receive? Are you ready to get up and have your life be different? I'm closing, and my question for you, and we're going to go to prayer, because I believe God wants to do something for several people this morning. In fact, I believe he wants to do much more than I'm even aware of. And I'm asking you this morning, are you a beggar? Or do you want to receive what God has for you? Are you going to be satisfied with somebody throwing you close to the pool but not getting in? And settling for some chump change that somebody threw at you out of their abundance, not out of being a blessing, not even, you know, they give you the scraps and the leftovers, and they call it compassion. Or you want to receive God's healing. And that choice is going to be yours this morning. The one that wants God's healing is going to be the one that hears his voice and gets up and starts walking in victory. So would you just bow your head with me? And I don't know what's going on. I don't know everything that everybody needs, but I know we serve a big God. Father, I understand what you're trying to do here this morning. And I believe that some are just wrestling with you right now. Some of them, they've heard what you've told them, and they're battling inside whether they're going to do what's needed. There are others, Lord God, that I believe have been so long next to the pool, Lord God, they've become discouraged. And this morning I'm asking that your presence would just fall fresh on them. I believe for some there's healing this morning. I believe for some there's an attitude change. I believe for some that, God, you're trying to minister to a critical spirit. We're constantly looking at someone else, critiquing what they're doing, and missing what you've called us to do. For others, Lord God, we're settling for change when you want to give dollars. We're settling for ordinary when you want to do extraordinary. God, I'm asking some to dare to get up and walk. Get up and accomplish what you want to accomplish in our lives. And I pray that you would give them victory, Lord God. I pray that this would be a day that changes their life forever. And that you would get honor and glory, because we cannot take credit for any of it. It's not us, it's you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us in such a way that there would be no doubt in our mind what we need to do, and then be obedient. We give you honor. We give you praise. Again, we thank you for those that are traveling, and pray they hear a good message on what's needed. But Lord God, we heard from you today. What are we going to do with it? Shake it off as a good message, but no response? Or let it be a beginning of what you want to do in our lives? The choice is ours. In Jesus' name. Amen.